In 1991, the now famous novelist James Patterson, along with another author, Peter Kim, published a book entitled The Day America Told the Truth. The book was a result of a national survey on the private morals of individuals within America on the subjects of sex and crime. One question in that survey was, quote, "What are you willing to do for $10 million? Excuse me for laughing because we had an interesting phone message come up there for a moment. $10 million in today's dollars is $22 million. Interesting, two-thirds of Americans polled would agree to at least one of the following for $22 million. 25% would abandon their entire family. 25% would abandon their church. Of course, we've had people abandon church for a lot less than $22 million over the years, but they would do that. 23% would become prostitutes for a week. 16% would give up their American citizenship, or I guess you could apply, well, since this is about Americans, we'll leave it at that. 16% would leave their spouses. 10% would withhold testimony and let a murderer go free. 7% would kill a stranger. And 3% would put their children up for adoption. This is in 1991, two-thirds of Americans would sell their integrity for a price. This survey was over 31 years ago. We know the world we're in now. Could we begin to imagine how many people would do whatever for the money? We're very aware when we look around us that people do not have integrity, and that if to find a person with integrity would be few and far between as we live a life and we go out into the world. Understanding integrity is important to us as God's people because our futures depend on it, and it's a requirement. We're going to be kings and priests. And God asks for integrity out of his kings and priests. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. In 1 Kings chapter 9, we'll read verses 4 and 5. "Now if you walk before me as your father walked, in integrity of heart and uprightness, to do according to all I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel." What is true for David and Solomon is also true for us. We must be people of integrity. So today, we're going to take a closer look at integrity and discuss how it applies to you and me, to God's people. Though integrity is required for our future appointment, it's interesting that certain studies have shown that there's physical benefits. In an article entitled "Personal Identity, What Is It and Why It Matters?" from fingerprintforsuccess.com. And here's a few well-known facts, and they footnoted them, though I won't quote the footnote here. It is well known that holding intrinsic values such as personal growth is positively associated with happiness. Studies have shown that people who think about their highest values before entering a stressful event experience less stress. Knowing your values help you distinguish between what seems urgent and what is really important. More than 50% of the 10 largest corporate bankruptcies since 1980, such as Enron, WorldCom, and Lehman Brothers, resulted from unethical business practices. And the ethics of a community's culture plays a significant role in creating and sustaining value in any organization. All of that can apply to the church. All that can apply to us. It all deals with integrity. When we consider some those of the possessing qualities that a person of integrity have, we commonly think of items like honesty, responsibility, courage, humility, patience, or any other virtue that we consider strength of character. But integrity is more than a summation of values or virtues. In modern ethics, integrity is the quality of being honest and having a strong moral principles and moral uprightness. Those are two things you don't hear about anymore. People don't talk about them. Integrity is a personal choice to hold oneself to a consistent moral, ethical standards. It's not something someone can do from the outside and drive into you. It is not externally driven, but it is something from within, intrinsically inside of us, that instills integrity that you will follow a certain code. This is why God uses the phrase integrity of heart, because the heart is the symbol of what is our feelings, what is the basis of our thoughts, what's the basis of our actions. It's why God uses the word of integrity of heart. It's inward. Now, though integrity demands honesty, and I'd say it's one of the most important parts, integrity has more to do, not to do so much as honesty with one another, though that's part of it. It's more about an honesty between this and this within ourselves, that we're honest with ourselves, that we're living up to a moral code or values that we endorse, that we speak about, that we pay homage to, but then we go out and we don't live by those. There has to be a correlation between the two. Though I would not normally quote from Wikipedia, I found an article there where they have a good definition, a lot of footnotes, and I looked at some of the footnotes, so they're using some very good authorities. So forgive me for using it, but sometimes when you got something good, you want to stay with it because you don't have to dream it up yourself. Quote, in ethics, when discussing behavior and morality, an individual is said to possess integrity. If the individual's actions are based upon an internally consistent framework of principles, these principles should uniformly adhere to a sound logical axioms or postulates. One can describe a person as having ethical integrity to the extent that the individual's actions, beliefs, methods, measures, and principles all derive from a single core group of values. You can't pick from here, pick from here, pick from here, pick from here, or whatever you like. There's a certain set core that drives your integrity. For an individual to have integrity, they must first have a consistent framework of principles or a single core group of values. Secondly, they must consistently follow them. One of the things that we're doing here at the conference is defining some core values. We get questions. This feast, when we had other people around, we had actually a Church of God Seventh Day ask me a question, where do you see yourself in 7 years? You got a nice little group here. Where do you think you're going? It'd be nice to say these are our core values that make us who we are and that we live by. Because we can see actions in the workplace. We can see actions among our friends. We can even see it within the church, that people do not live by what they preach. And they justify it for another reason, or they reach out and grab their own core values or someone else's and justify in their mind what they're doing. Consistent and single core mean they're not wishy-washy. They're not squeezy. They're not fluffy. You know, it's something you can hang on to and anchor to. They don't change with the circumstance, but they source every thought and every action from this, which follows a core values that are anchored in there, written there. Sound familiar? We get there a little bit later. Values imply that the individual upholds their values as the most important thing in their life. $22 million can seem pretty important. It can solve a lot of problems. But somebody who has core values and integrity does not measure their success in life by how much money they got in the bank or how big their house is. More, if they got a big house, it's more about how they got that. Because if they had to do something shady to get whatever it is they wanted, it's a guilt complex and they realize it's something they need to change. It's not in accordance. And how they feel about that is the basis of measurement into regard how successful they are. If you can go to bed and sleep at night knowing you did everything right, move into that house because you know you did everything right to get it, it's much more mentally stable and not wishy-washy. It's something that has been given to you, and you know how you got it. My grandfather, let me just tell you, it wasn't in my notes, but my grandfather got his electricity turned off one time, and he lived way out in a holler, if I can say that. And he'd been raised on, you know, fuel oil lights. So the fact they turned it off wasn't much at all. And he said, hey, you charged me double. And they said, no, we didn't. We're going to turn it off. He says, turn it off. 30 years later, somebody knocked on his door and said, Mr. Hutchison, we found an error. And they said, we'd like to take care of this and turn your electricity back on. He says, since you've done that, you can turn it on. But he had that principle. I'm not saying my grandfather wasn't a stubborn man. But it's interesting. Think about that. 30 years. That was strength of whether it was based on the right thing. He knew who he was. Okay. Got in my story there, and then I lost where I was. In Kings, 1 Kings 9:4, the Hebrew word translated integrity, according to the Enhanced Strong's lexicon, means integrity, completeness, or perfection. The Theological Word Book of the Old Testament states it means not only integrity, but also strength, perfection, and uprightness. Now, this idea of perfection fits very well into what James tells us in chapter 3, verse 2. Let's turn there. Because as we learn to live within a certain code and a basis of value, the implication is we're moving towards perfection. In James chapter 3, verse 2, for we all stumble at all things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. The Greek for stumbling is synonymous with you're not with the program. You're not following it. You've come off your code of values, and you fell away from them. Now, James is referring to speech in and of itself here, but it flows over to every aspect of life. The world defines an individual as being and having integrity if they have a set of values and they live by them. Thing is, most people in the world have their own rules. Have you ever heard the saying, I'm true to myself? Of course, we understand what's wrong with that. Who are we true to? What are we true to? For us, our integrity, of course, is to be based, obviously, upon the adherence to God's law and codes. Paul emphasizes in Ephesians, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. And we read Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a man of integrity, until to the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Christ, as an example, when he lived here on earth, He lived according to the will of God, and he did not waver from that. And therein was his integrity, and therein is the perfection. To a perfect man is synonymous with being a man of integrity, because we focus on the core values of God, which lead us to that stature of Christ. If we are true to what God, we know God is telling us to do, and we do it, we strive, though we may stumble, we are still reaching a perfection just as the image of Jesus Christ. The framework of a single core values for us, of course, is the unity of the faith, thinking the same thing, having that mind of Christ, and the knowledge of God, being taught, learning the same things. Knowing God means knowing his framework. As we adhere to the basis of these values, we become more complete, not just individually, because as I quoted, one of the things about integrity, it's not only strengthens an individual, it strengthens a community. Henceforth, why God says, you know, I've got a body, I've got a heart in it, it has integrity, and I become a more complete person. As we as individuals all become that, we become more complete as a body of Jesus Christ, that full image of who he is. Notice again what Wikipedia states, and I'm continuing to quote. I fear if I did it once, I can do it again. An individual must therefore be flexible and willing to adjust these values to maintain consistency with these when these values are challenged. When as such, an expected test result is not congruent with all the observed outcomes. I know that's a mouthful, but think of it this way. I may have a certain opinion or a certain thought process about the values of God, but someone challenges me that, is that a proper way to think? Are you being true to the actual meaning of it? And if someone challenges it and it's true, you go, you're not upset at the messenger. You say, I've got an intrinsic part of integrity in me, and that's wrong. I need to change that. That's called repentance, and it's so tied into integrity. Continuing, because such flexibility is a form of accountability, think of that, accountability. We're all held accountable before God of how we act and how we look at his values. It is regarded as a moral responsibility as well as a virtue. A person of integrity does not look at God's laws and say, I'll follow them if I want to. It is a statement of integrity. It is something we're responsible for, and we see them as virtuous, as good. If we are people of integrity, it demands that we're always testing our thinking and thinking how we need to apply it better to our lives and interactions. If it doesn't line up, give it the sniff test. I learned that from Mr. Orchard back in the back. We were looking at some numbers, and he says, I give it the sniff test. If it what we're doing doesn't pass the sniff test, something smells, and we need to throw it out. And the thing is no one needs to tell us that. If it's intrinsic, you go, you know, somebody might tell you it stinks, okay, and you have to test it that it stinks, and what do? You get rid of it. You don't hang on to it. You understand it may be a fight within yourself to change that, but it becomes part of you. And of course, our framework of values must change, and it must change to God's frameworks of values. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is a living, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We realize that those values are not ours. They're God's, and it is those values that can change us, and that whatever is in here that is different than what is it part of the image of God, we're to use that word, those values, to cut it out. That is moving towards perfection when we do that. That's the completeness. That's the integrity. The integrity and perfection we so desperately need can only come through, as we've always know, or we've always talked about, is a close relationship with God. How do you know the heart of God, which is his laws, if you're not putting those same laws in your heart? And the only way you can do that is through a close relationship with him, who then can actively cut it out. When we allow God to write those laws into our hearts, the integrity of the Father in Jesus Christ is literally being constructed in us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It is about deconstructing our thoughts and values and putting in God's values. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exists itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Cut it out. One last quote from Wikipedia. This is all one series in Wikipedia. An individual's value system provides a framework within which the individual acts in ways which are consistent and expected. The person expects it from themselves. It's not that other people expect it. You expect it from yourself intrinsically to follow those laws. That framework. Integrity can be seen as the state or condition of having such a framework and acting congruently within the given framework. Congruent means the same shape. It looks alike. And congruent circles, is they're all circles and they're all inside each other. Congruency is that when someone looks at an person of integrity, whatever values he reflects, what values he reflects, who he is, are those rules. I mean, are those that framework that he follows. So henceforth, when people see a person of integrity who follows God's law, who does he see? The image of Jesus Christ. To be people of integrity, you must build correctly on the right foundation. First Corinthians 13. 3 verse 9. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9. For we are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. We are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each other take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can be laid than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each other's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Think of the values for a person of integrity, that God's law is the foundation that he stands on. And he only builds on that. In architecture and engineering, Integrity is used to describe the soundness, the strength, or the usefulness of a structure, such as a bridge or a building. In other words, if someone comes in and looks at an old bridge and he looks at it, he'll say, it has integrity. It will hold that truck as it goes across. Or trucks. Or a framing of the house. I built a deck a few years back, 18 years ago, and I had to have it inspected. And each time, when I dug the holes, they had to be a certain depth, have concrete at the bottom, have the be a certain way, they inspected it. When I put the frame together, they wanted to make sure it was attached to the house correctly, that it wouldn't fall when everyone got on top of it. After I put all the decking on and such, they came and inspected to make sure I had the railings and everything else that people wouldn't fall off of. Then they declared it as having integrity, of being used. That's part of engineering, the word they use. Safety inspectors inspect bridges and builders and edifices for the integrity. The thing is structural integrity can mean the difference between standing or falling. It, in a sense, integrity literally defines the margin of safety between success and disaster. When we have integrity, we're guaranteed success. When we don't, there could be disaster laying around the corner. We are spiritual beings, spiritual buildings. Just as integrity defines the margin between safety and disaster in physical structures, spiritual integrity defines the spiritual margin between spiritual safety, spiritual disaster, falling or standing, but most importantly, between salvation and death. There are three main aspects of a sound structure. Number one, a building has a designed purpose. When it is designed, it needs to fulfill that purpose. Two, we'll cover each of these in a moment, but you can write these three down. The second aspect, a building with integrity has quality, materials, and workmanship. And three, a building with integrity requires continuous maintenance. I'll say those three again. A building has a design purpose that it must fulfill. Two, a building with integrity has quality, materials, and workmanship. A building with integrity requires continuous maintenance. Let's look at the first one. Before any structure is designed or built, the designer needs to know its purpose. For instance, if it's a bridge, he needs to know how long it is, how wide it is. He needs to know how much weight it needs to hold. And if the designer or engineer does not take into consideration the complete construction integrity, that bridge will fail. We have many testaments to man's ability to build. Have you ever been to the Boulder Dam? They say that will last 150 years. If man was wiped off the map, it would continue to operate for 150 years, the longest of anything, they would said, if it's not maintained. The Golden Gate Bridge, it's just around the corner here. Also the Empire State Building. All these were designed with fine detail and their intended purpose. The Golden Gate Bridge is now 85 years old. And the Empire State Building is the same age. Boulder Dam is estimated, the amount of concrete that's inside of it is immense. I don't know if you've ever seen the film, but they show just years and years and the things they had to do in engineering to build that for even the heat that was inside the concrete. But for that to be done, the integrity of the dam to work, it took great detail and design to be able to do that. For us as people of integrity, we must first understand our purpose. so that we reach that purpose and see it clearly. Keep it in the front of our minds. How we need to be constructed, what traits we need, what skills we need, what knowledge and character we must have to be sound buildings. And that's all part of integrity, to know what it is you're even reaching for. And that's part of knowing God's law. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. We'll read a scripture that we're very familiar with. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 28 and 29, "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Do we see our purpose as far as a person of integrity, that is who we are to be, how we're to be built, how we're to be able to operate and do the same things as Jesus Christ? Yes, he's God, but it is the purpose and the goal that we need to strive for integrity. The second requirement for structural integrity is the use of quality materials and workmanship. While working in New York City in 1996, I had the opportunity, and it's the only time I ever had, to be able to go in the Empire State Building. I wasn't able to go to the top. It was a business day, and for some reason, they were shut down. But when you walk into that building, the material quality, it looked like you were walking back in the 1930s, and it was just as new as the day it was built. Also, in 1945, a B-25 bomber ran into the Empire State Building. It burned out two complete floors, but the building didn't waver. It was built differently than the Twin Towers, which only one plane took out both towers. It had the right workmanship, the right quality. It is not only strong, but if you walk in, you see the quality. As we read earlier in 1 Corinthians 3:12, we are to build with gold, silver, and precious stones. There's no shortcuts. We need to put the right materials into it. Don't turn there, but Galatians 5, 22 and 23. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." When we talk about what we consist of and what's in our heart, and we're looking and we're measuring how strong it is in the materials that we're using, if we're not gaining these as we're living and trying to build that integrity, we've got the wrong fruits. If I get angry, I have to recognize that does not work the righteousness of God. It's working my righteousness. If I'm not showing love, joy, and peace to my fellow man, or to a church member especially, that's not good craftsmanship. That is not the right materials by which we should be building. We look at the outcome, the result of what we're building, and we say, is that what it needs to be? Do we rip out what is destructive and put in what is constructive? The same is true for us if we're not continually maintaining what it is. Oh, sorry, I jumped ahead a little bit here. This brings us to the third aspect regarding maintenance. Over time, the integrity of any structure changes and weakens. I don't know if you remember, but in August 2016, the I-35 bridge collapsed in Minneapolis. 2005, that's a long time ago. It's just funny how time passes. But when it was built 30 years before, it was sound. It was strong. The number of tractor trailers, semis, going from eastern part of the United States to the western part of the United States, it carried all those vehicles. Do you know what caused it to fall? It was because of the pigeon dung on the girders that were never swept off. coating put on to protect, replacement of anything that's corroded. But when it fell, it killed several people, as well as called a traffic jam for whatever number of time, and interrupted the flow of commerce in the northern part of the United States. But maintenance is very, very important. And it's the same for us. If we do not continually maintain what has been developed in us, we can't think that we've reached the framework that we've been revealed in us, we built up. We need to make sure that we're keeping it maintained. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, we read, "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." That integrity is kept, that we're always, every day, returning to the source, looking at the values, the framework, and making sure that we're not turning from it, that something doesn't need to be polished or corrected or rewelded. Whatever materials that we're using or whatever it is we see, we have to apply it. Our spiritual framework requires constant attention, constant. Integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, an upright moral base. Integrity is the personal choice to hold oneself accountable, consistent to morals and to ethical standards. Integrity is having a consistent framework of values and how well our thoughts and actions align to that framework. Integrity is about being honest and taking those values and looking at our heart and saying, are they there? Are they not? And looking back to those values and say, am I doing them? And correct it. Integrity is about building God's framework in ourselves. How we construct that framework means the difference between safety and disaster. It's a matter of life and death. Let's understand and build according to our purpose, build with quality materials, and maintain that we build through continual renewal our integrity, who we are. If we do, we will develop the integrity we need to know, to be, and walk in the integrity of heart and uprightness. And when people see us, and when I look in the mirror, when you look in the mirror, you can truly know that you are striving to become the same image as Jesus Christ.